Okay, and Deepak Chopra says the Seth books, useful to all explorers of consciousness. So when you really dig deep and you really look at who these people are connected to, you find the demonic realm. Okay, Oprah Winfrey, again, let me take another shot of Timmy's here. Oprah Winfrey, McLean's magazine, called Oprah Winfrey the most influential self-help teacher in North America. And we're going to look at some of the influences that she is involved with. Okay, the book Eat, Pray, Love. This book has been on the New York Times bestseller list for 215 weeks. Now that's 4 years, folks. 4 years on the New York Times bestseller list. Most of it at number one. Most of it in the top part. Now, this book has really connected with a lot of women. This is mainly a woman's book. In fact, we're going to see here pretty soon, Oprah called this the woman's Bible. She sees this as being the woman's Bible. And that's Elizabeth Gilbert right there. She, what this book is about, she divorced her husband and had a nervous breakdown and decided to go on a pilgrimage. And first she went to Italy and sampled their cuisine, and that's the eat part. And then she went to India to an ashram or a Hindu meditation center and spent some time there meditating, and that's the pray part. And then she went to Indonesia to be with a native healer there, and she met a guy from Brazil, and then she fell in love with him, and they became lovers, and that's the love part. But the inner third of the book, about a third of the book in the inner part, is like an instruction manual on Hinduism. It is completely given over to meditation and Hindu philosophy. And in it, she says that bed bugs and turnips are God. Now, not just bed bugs and turnips. She says everything, including bed bugs and turnips, are God. You know, and she didn't just say that intellectually, she said it because she meditates. She's in touch with these beings like Seth, and they take over her mind, and they tell her that everything is God. Everything. I mean, nothing. That's why she said bed bugs and turnips, because nothing is not God. Nothing is left out. Well, like I said earlier, this book has been on the New York Times bestseller list, mainly at number one, for 215 weeks. That means that millions and millions of copies of this book are being read by women. You know, usually men aren't interested in this kind of stuff, but women are. And what they do is they read this and they're indoctrinated with Hindu philosophy, New Age philosophy, and then they start talking to their friends and coworkers. You know, they're sitting around the cafeteria at lunch, and that's why this book has legs, as they call it in the publishing industry. The women read it and they talk about it to their friends and they buy it and they talk about it, and it just keeps going and going and going. And talk about New Age influences. This book is one of the major New Age influences there is. But it got its start on Oprah, and she pushed it very hard and said that it was the woman's Bible, and that Elizabeth Gilbert was everybody's guru, which is apparently true. Okay, this is Rhonda Byrne. She wrote put together a book called The Secret. And The Secret has been on the New York Times bestseller list for 170 weeks. And Rhonda Byrne is a New Ager from Australia, from Down Under. And she was very much involved in the teachings of Abraham, which is a group of spirit guides. And in this book, The Secret, on page 183, it says, "You are the master of the universe. You are the perfection of life, and now you know the secret." See, that's what the secret is. The secret is that you are God. You are the master of the universe. You are all power. Okay, and now she has another bestseller called The Power. So, you know, this is changing society. This is changing the way people in our world, you know, think, their view of God. You know, The Secret. The Secret is, there's also a DVD. And when Oprah did a thing on The Secret in 2008, I think it was 38 million people downloaded it on the internet. Okay, the seed of the soul. Now, this is really a bizarre phenomenon because the seed of the soul is really dry reading. I mean, there's nothing, at least Eat, Pray, Love is a biography. I mean, there's something interesting about it. But the seed of the soul is just, it's like a theology book. It's like a textbook. And it was put out by a man named Gary Zukav, who was a former Special Forces soldier, one of the Green Berets. You know, usually you don't connect New Agers with being Green Berets, right? It's kind of oxymoron there, but he was a Green Beret, and he may have got into New Ageism through the martial arts. You know, that's a common avenue. But Oprah called this the most important book she ever read, The Seed of the Soul. You can see this on Gary Zukav's website, the most important book she has ever read. But look what this book says. The central perception of the multisensory human, that's what he calls the new people who are new age, multisensory, is that he or she is not alone. The multisensory human does not need to reply, or what is it, do not need to rely, it's supposed to be rely, I'm sorry, that's a typo, does not need to rely solely upon his or her own perceptions and interpretations of events for guidance, because he or she is in, here we go, conscious communication with other more advanced intelligence. Conscious communication with more advanced intelligence. That is what is happening right now. It is just that for the first time, as we become multisensory, we are aware of it and can put names with non-physical teachers and have a sense of personal relationship with them. Remember yesterday, if you were here yesterday, we were talking about, you know, these people have a Reiki, a sense of personal relationship with them. See, in Christianity, as you know, you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, right? In the New Age, you have a personal relationship with non-physical teachers. Okay, remind yourself that you are supported, that you are not going alone upon this earth. You know, you're not alone in this earth. You know, you have friends. There's friends in metaphysical places. Okay, here we go. This is the essence of this book. Dwell in the company of your non-physical teachers and guides. Dwell in the company of your non-physical teachers and guides. And Oprah called this the most important book she has ever read. And because of her, this book was on the New York Times bestseller list. Okay, you ready for this? 2 years. 2 years on the New York Times bestseller list. A book on basically on dwelling in the company of your non-physical teachers and guides. Okay. Ainsley MacLeod was being supported by Oprah. Ainsley MacLeod is a medium. And this woman here is an editor of Current Living magazine. She says, I first discovered Ainsley MacLeod when he was interviewed on Oprah's Soul series. So Oprah's interviewing him, and this is what she calls her Soul series last fall. Regarding his 2007 book, The Instruction. Now, I want you to pay close attention to that title, The Instruction. The interview series itself was relatively new, and I felt encouraged and excited that Oprah would extend her already expansive expansive content repertoire of self-help, spirituality, and personal development into the realm of psychic awareness. Well, these things are the same, but now they're moving from things that look innocent to the outright realm of psychic awareness. I mean, things are becoming more open, you know, what they really are. Certainly, many of us believe in intuitive abilities and connecting with guides, angels, higher self, universal intelligence, etc. But to have Ainsley MacLeod sit front and center talking about how the text of the instruction came into being as a result of communication, direct communication from an army of guides. This guy has an army of guides, not just one or two or three. He has an army of guides. Well, it was like a turning point in how mass consciousness was softening to the idea that we all have access to small, still voices that are designed to guide us daily if we choose our life's purpose. So this guy has an army of spirit guides, and Oprah is promoting him to the world, and because of Oprah's promotion, mass consciousness is softening to the idea that we have access to demonic spirits, basically, that people are opening up to it. Now, they wouldn't call them demonic spirits. they would call them angels, higher self, universal intelligence. But that's what this conference is about. You know, a lot of people out there, millions of people out there, thinking that this is good stuff. This is what God really is. The God we worship is old-fashioned and out of date and too judgmental and just isn't the real God. And these guides, that's what we're really supposed to get in touch with. They're the ones that really know what's going on. That's the real truth right there. You know, well, this is terrifying. This is absolutely terrifying. And there's Oprah endorsing Marianne Williamson's book, you know, the one that is connected to Seth. You know, Seth speaks. So, you know, like I said, McLean's magazine called her the most influential self-help guru in North America. Okay, this is Neil Donald Walsh. Now, where is this leading? You know, I think I made my point. This isn't a real long talk. I have a kind of a frog in my throat, so I can't do like hour-long talks. But I think I can get the point across, right? I mean, you'd rather have quality than quantity, right? So the point is, I think these are the major New Age influences. I could fill an hour. I kind of detract from my speaking ability. Like I said, I'm fighting a virus, and you can probably tell I have a frog in my throat. But the point is that, you know, I could show you many others, but it would be kind of redundant. You know, it'd just be the same thing over and over and over again. The point is, there's influential people: Wayne Dyer, Marianne Williamson, Deepak Chopra, Oprah Winfrey, that are impacting the masses. They are impacting the general population. Typical normal people. No longer is this confined to just a tiny portion of society. You know, it's not like this is going to reach 2 or 3% and then level off and be like a plateau. This is where society is headed. What I just showed you is where society is headed. And now you're going to see what kind of society we're going to have when this becomes, when this takes over. This is Neil Donald Walsh. He wrote, or he didn't write, he channeled a number of books. The first one is called Conversations with God. Conversations with God. And Walsh is known globally for his 9-book New York Times best-selling series, Conversations with God. His books have sold more than 7.5 million copies worldwide and have been translated into 37 languages. So this guy and his God speak for the New Age movement. So this is very significant, I feel. Okay? God on Hitler. This is his God talking about Adolf Hitler. He says, this is his God now. So the first thing you have to understand, as I've already explained to you, is that Hitler didn't hurt anyone. In a sense, he didn't inflict suffering. He ended it. You know? He didn't hurt anybody. He didn't Adolf Hitler did not inflict suffering. He ended it. Well, how did he do that? You know, how did Adolf Hitler end suffering? The real issue is whether Hitler's actions were wrong. Yet I have said over and over again, this is his God saying this, yet I have said over and over again that there is no right or wrong in the universe. There is no right or wrong. Now, what kind of a God would say there is no right or wrong? I mean, what kind of, you know, a familiar spirit, right? A demonic spirit, you know. The true God is the very essence of right or wrong, right? The very essence. But in the demonic realm, you know, in the satanic realm, there is no right or wrong. That's why Hitler didn't hurt anybody. You know, he didn't inflict suffering. He ended it. Well, in essence, he did inflict suffering. And tens of millions of people, you know, including, you know, 43,000 Canadians, died as a result of his actions. Okay, Acts 16:16 says, this is what, what the Bible talks about this. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel or young girl possessed with a spirit of divination or familiar spirit met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. That means being a psychic. This girl was a psychic, and she brought her masters a lot of gain. That means that she was right a lot of the time, that the spirit actually, you know, gave accurate information. Otherwise, she wouldn't bring her masters much gain. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." So the spirit guy was actually endorsing Paul and Silas. You know, you'd think that the spirit guy would say, "These men are liars, don't listen to them. You know, these guys are trying to deceive us, you know, they're, you know, pay no attention to them." But no, the spirit guide was saying the truth here. "And this she did," which I found significant, "many days." Not just once, but many days. You know, not just for all morning or all afternoon, but day after day after day. "But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, 'I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and unto the rulers." So this is an account of what we're seeing. You know, a lot of Christians, they'll read this in the Bible and they'll think, "Oh, that's how it was back then. You know, these same guides can't be around now. You know, that's superstition. You know, that's too much to believe." But that isn't the case. These same guides are still around, and they're actively working to transform Western society. Okay, these three verses show four things. One, the Spirit was the source of her power and not some latent faculty inherent in the human makeup. And that's what New Agers like Wayne Dyer will try to tell you, your sacred self, that if you connect with your sacred self, that you will, you know, be like that girl. You'll have all the answers that you need. I mean, want. You'll have answers to everything in life. And people are now, like I said in the self-help section, people are turning away from relying on God and the true God, and they're turning to these authors that I've just showed you. And like I said, I could have author after author up there. I mean, that was just a drop in the bucket, but it wouldn't make my point any more than it did. Okay, the Spirit was accurate to a high degree, otherwise she would not have brought her masters much gain. You don't become a success with a poor showing. And third, this is the most important one, Paul and the Spirit were not on the same side. This is quite evident by the fact that he cast it out of her, that even though the Spirit, you know, was endorsing him and his message, he knew that it was the result of, you know, trying to deceive people. He didn't say, "Well, thanks, you know, I appreciate this." No, he was grieved because he knew the Spirit would try to deceive people. The Spirit would try to use that endorsement later on to get people away from the gospel and into back under the influence of the demonic realm. Yeah, again, the most important of all, the Spirit tried to identify himself with God. When it followed Paul and Silas, it was saying the truth. "These men show us the way to the salvation." By doing this, the Spirit could continue its practice of deceiving all concerned. And these spirits are doing the same thing today. This girl, no doubt, believed that it was her inner divinity giving her the information that was so effective in aiding the community. The truth of the matter is, when you say that you have connected with your inner divinity and that you are God, sadly, you have joined the ranks of those who, professing themselves to be wise or knowing the truth, they became fools or absurd and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. Anyhow, that concludes the talk. Thank you.